went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you, and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Evening, everyone. The Beatitudes have a rhythm and a direction. The heroic Beatitudes of being peacemakers or being persecuted for the sake of righteousness cannot happen unless one begins with the faith. Unless you have faith, you can't begin to read this or listen to it. So let me just give a brief word on each. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit recognizes sins and mourns for the sin, and to be comforted only in God's mercy. They recognize that they are empty without God, so being poor in spirit, they rely on God's mercy for life. Spiritual wealth is greater than financial wealth. Purely material poverty does not bring salvation, as anyone, no matter how poor, is capable of sin. This poverty is not a purely spiritual attitude, as not everyone can embrace the complete denial of wealth as the great saints embraced asceticism, which points to the kingdom of God. Think of St. Francis of Assisi. He took off his clothes and walked out of town. I want nothing. Francis brought the church to its knees through radical poverty. Now, we need those communities of religious to display the truth of the Beatitudes instead of the culture of affluence, which is what the world offers. They offer the culture of inner freedom. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Those who lament the present state of this life and the world have a certain sorrow that's not overpowering, but they recognize the fallenness and they recognize the world needs the gospel. They also can mourn for lost hope and the mistrust of love and truth. Mourning sins then leads to undergoing conversion. I mourn my own sins. I know I need conversion. And God comforts us in his mercy and forgiveness. And this mourning heals because it teaches us to hope and love again. And in the life to come, we know in Revelation 7, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. They appear powerless and insignificant in the eyes of the world, but they possess an inner strength to restrain the anger and discouragement in trial. So in the Old Testament, those who are humble before God inherit the promised land with Christ, which is eternal life. Think of, Zechariah, Elizabeth, Joachim and Anne, Joseph and Mary. They are humble coming out of that Old Testament, so they're able to receive the promise of life in the new. Psalm 37, verse 11, the meek shall possess the land. Matthew 11, 29, come to me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Zechariah chapter 9 speaks of the meek and poor King Messiah who will ride into town on a donkey, not with horses and chariots and armies, not with political or military might, and he will bring his kingdom to all the earth. The renewal of the earth comes through the peace that comes from God for those who are meek, because their strength is not in the world, but rather in God. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. The most important thing is to seek the Lord's kingdom and his righteousness. They are satisfied not by the material, not by the belly, not by the political talk of the day, but rather by relationship with Christ and with God in eternal life. They search for more. They want more, which is only satisfied in Christ. That is why fasting can be a remedy, because with fasting you're saying, I don't need that, I need more of the spiritual of Christ in my heart. That's why the church has fasting and abstinence. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. We imitate the Father's mercy by extending forgiveness to others. Matthew 18:18-21 speaks of those who sin. Go to your brother. If the brother doesn't listen, get a witness. If the witness brother does not able to convince you, bring him to the church. If doesn't listen to the church, then he's out. Matthew 18:20-22. But it speaks of mercy and forgiveness in the community of believers. Bearing others' faults with patience. Generous in aiding the needy in works of charity and compassion. To live in his mercy is to accept his mercy, knowing that we need it. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. A pure heart is not stained by evil and lustful thoughts. Giving in to our passions and disordered desires clouds our vision and prevents us from seeing reality as it is. Distorted vision keeps us from seeing God and others and how God wants us to see them. The organ for seeing God in Scripture is the heart. And the heart purified by God brings unity of body and soul. And then body and spirit are united, and that's integrity. A person of integrity is united. Body, mind, soul, heart, spirit. They're united. They have integrity. And that only comes through being with God and seeing him. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Wars and dissensions come from the heart and attack relationships, just like wars among nations are about grabbing up material things. The peacemaker wants the other to know the gospel and to live in peace. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who are slandered, abused, oppressed for their public witness to Jesus Christ, they are targets of the world because their commitment to the gospel. Those who live by faith will suffer. John 15:18-20 says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And no servant is greater than his master. Those who live by faith will suffer. The Sermon on the Mount is not a social program, but is only when the great inspiration it gives us vitally influences our thought and our action. Only when faith generates a strength of renunciation and responsibility for our neighbor and for the whole of society, only then can there be social justice. And the church as a whole must never forget that she has to remain recognizably the community of God's poor. Just as the Old Testament opened itself through God's power to renewal in the new covenant with Christ, so too any renewal of the church can be set in motion only through those who keep alive in themselves the same resolute humility, the same goodness that is always ready to serve. The Lord finishes the gospel and he says, blessed are you When they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you, falsely because of me, rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. May it be so, and may we listen to those words and pray the Beatitudes and let them penetrate our hearts.